This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Mark Campbell, who's running to be your next city councillor. Now, thanks for joining us today, Mark, considering your very busy schedule.
My pleasure. It has been hectic, but it's always wonderful to talk to people like yourselves, and good for you to be reaching out to everybody on this, too.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, we're very excited.
Glad that you responded.
Great.
Just to start, I guess, if you'd tell us a bit about yourself and why you chose this election to run specifically.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised here in Lethbridge. I'm making it to 62, hopefully, by December. Just a born and raised state here. My entire life has been spent in the media. I worked for 43 years doing TV, doing radio, doing some newspaper. Went to the Lethbridge College here. Lived in all sections of the city, from the west side to the north side to the south side. So, yeah, Lethbridge is my home. This is where I love to be. This is where I intend to stay. So, and one of the big reasons that I'm running is because it's just, you know, it's that time. I want to be part of the decision-making process and maybe make an effective decision on some things that may be popping up. And having a little bit of knowledge of the city, I think that gives me some kind of an advantage. I've also had the great opportunity. I did a little TV show called Seen and Heard, where I got to meet so many different facets of the community that I didn't even realize existed, and got to talk to a lot of nonprofit organizations, talked to a lot of different businesses. Some of their concerns, I mean, mostly it was a lighthearted kind of show, but it sort of gave me an insight as to who makes up the city, and it just made me say, wow, this is a pretty decent city to be from. And so I want to, if I can, you know, be a go-between between people who have one issue and another issue, and maybe we can come to common ground and make positive and wonderful decisions in the future.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's great reasons. Just, I guess to get into more political questions, I suppose, in terms of the city, what do you think Lethbridge's 2 or 3 most pressing issues are, and what would you do about them?
Well, that's, you know, that's one of those things is that, you know, during this campaign, I'm kind of learning as we go. And there's a lot, and I know just in the last forum that we were at, especially for when we're talking about the youth in the city, I understand transportation is a big issue for a lot of people, especially when you go, you know, if you're going to university and you want to, if you're living on the north side, it takes you about an hour to get from down to where you are to the university. It's expensive, and those are some issues that I'd like to address. You know, always want to, you know, work with the disenfranchised. Always want to, you know, gain some partnerships with various organizations, especially when you're talking about the disenfranchised. I want to work on the downtown. I want to talk about, you know, a performing arts center and what it brings to the city. West Side is you know, populated to the extent of about 40,000 people now. So addressing concerns there. And what am I going to do? Well, one of the big things that I believe in, and, you know, that maybe I can bring to the table is I attended the Greatness and Leadership event earlier this year, and one of the big messages was partnership is the new leadership. And if we create great partnerships, find common ground, find you know, a dialogue, that we can achieve great things. And that's what I really want to try to do when there are contentious issues, to kind of get to both sides, maybe figure out a way that we can get it all done. So that's sort of my mandate for this election.
Yeah, that's great. Cam and I talk a lot about, our podcast is mostly about the arts and in the community and outside. Right. So we're kind of invested in the idea of a performing arts facility, and we know that the design and planning phase have been brought forward to council in the past.
Yep.
Are you in favor of this sort of facility being built in the city, and or do you have concerns about it?
I'm absolutely in favor of it. I mean, historically, we have always, you know, believe it or not, in the 1920s, there was something like, I'm maybe misquoted here, but something like five theaters in the city that served a small population, and they were busy all the time. We had a 900-seat performing arts theater at one time, the Majestic Theater, and it was just an amazing facility. Then the war came along, and it just wasn't being able to be used anymore. It just died away. But, you know, I've been in the theater all my life since I was in high school. I've performed in numerous events. And one of my big things is I believe that, you know, the downtown is the heart of the city, but a performing arts center is the soul of the city. And I really believe in that. Just so many good things come out of a performing arts center, whether it's bringing in acts that wouldn't necessarily come to the city, whether it's you graduating from high school or college or university, we have a facility there, whether it's presenting some kind of a movie in there. I mean, the Yates Theater, as I understand it right now, is just, it's being renovated, but when it was there, it was 95-97% capacity in the year, and people didn't get an opportunity to use the facility because it was already booked up, so mm-hmm. we do need that. I know that there's people saying that we can't afford it. I just think in the long run, it is going to be the benefit, not just, you know, financially, but just esoterically. It's just a good feeling to have a performing arts center in your city. And I think it's people, you know, when they see that there's something like this, maybe want to even move to this town. So yeah, I'm kind of a big proponent of a performing arts center.
Great.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, the capital investment project that was brought forward to council this year, or proposed by council, set aside $7 million for the design and planning phase between now and 2021. But in 2021, the Municipal Sustainability Initiative, which is a grant put forward by the province, will expire. And we're not too sure if there's a replacement out there yet. There hasn't been much word. And the city gets millions of dollars for projects like this through it. So should funding not be as readily available come 2021? Do you think that this is a project that could be put on the back burner, or how would you propose we fund this?
Yeah, that's I'm not aware of that, that's ending. Things that I need to learn as I keep moving along. But yeah, I hope that we'll be able to figure out other types of funding. I know that they often come up in different ways, whether it's provincial, whether it's federal, that we can tap into it. I know there's a great committee that's that is always looking into finding ways to get funding. So as long as we're on top of that, hopefully we can figure out another creative way, if we have to continue with the funding.
Absolutely. So with this being such a large endeavor, I mean, right now, as you said, the Yates is around, and it's currently undergoing a $13 million renovation.
Yeah.
Well, the city's putting forward $13 million. It's a much larger renovation than that. But do you think that the city should continue with this project come 2021 if things aren't there, if the funding's not there?
Continue with the Performing Arts Center?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I still do. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be money well spent. And again, historically, this is something that Lethbridge is always basically has always, supported. And I think we can continue to do that. If I'm walking around Henderson Lake, for example, and I marvel at how beautiful Henderson Lake is with the trees. And that was built in, I believe in that the reservoir itself was built in the lakes that the trees were planted in like the early 1900s. And I think, well, there was some people who had foresight to make this what this is, and I'm enjoying it, 100 years later or whatever it is. So I think we have to have that vision that down the road, like for people like you, who by the time you're 60, you're going to say, thank heavens that someone decided to build this facility, because this is really I'm just loving coming here and watching my son or daughter perform on stage here, and it's just one of the best experiences of my life. So yeah, I hope that we can continue to find ways to fund something like that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. One of the other things that I've been hearing a lot about is a controversy over the Sister City program. Within Canada, we have sister cities in the United States, but mostly within Canada is what's come up in the recent past with Saint-Laurent, Quebec. And the city of Lethbridge is the only city left in Canada that keeps a formal relationship with its twin city in Quebec.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and in 2017, there was an art piece commission called Coyote to Coyote. And a lot of people didn't understand why we'd be spending city tax dollars on a project like this, for two reasons. One, because they either don't understand why we'd want to keep the formal relationship, and there's a non-for-profit organization in the city called Twin City. I think it's a Twin City program, and they keep an informal relationship, much in the same way the city does. They just don't have the funds. Would you be in favor of supporting the continued formal relationship between the two, or?
Well, again, going back to the idea of partnership is the new leadership. I think any time that you have, some kind of a cultural relationship with someone such as the people of Saint-Laurent, Quebec, and it's been a long-standing relationship and it's been a wonderful relationship. I don't see any disadvantages to it. I love the fact that we can bring people from Saint-Laurent and talk about what makes them tick, and then in turn we go to there, find out they find out what makes us tick, and I think that makes us a united country in a lot of ways. So I support that.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was thinking when I was looking into this was that if we are deciding what we think their city would benefit from in terms of artwork that we had, the piece that we had commissioned, they're doing the same for us, and we're getting a different perspective.
Sure.
And I think that, I think it's important.
Yeah, to do that sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with being somewhat worldly, or at least national. I love the idea of knowing what the other half of the country, makes them tick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but I mean, we're such a large federation that it's always fascinating to see what other people are doing and to learn from everyone else.
I think knowledge is so powerful too. If we don't know anything about anybody else in another part of the world, I think we're missing out on a lot, and so I think that really is beneficial to everyone.
Absolutely. Excellent. Now we're gonna shift gears a little bit here. Another topic that we're interested in is youth and youth engagement within our city.
Mm-hmm.
So young voters often get left out of the conversation when it comes to elections, municipal elections.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what's the largest issue facing youth today in Lethbridge?
Sadly, I'm not on top of that. My gut instinct would be the youth has to deal. I believe when you're talking youth, I think there's a lot of issues with still bullying in the city. Probably a lot of what does the youth get to do when they're bored? Where do they go? What sort of activities are there? So those are some of the things that I think we certainly need to continue to have conversations with. I know there's great organizations in the city. When you're talking about Big Brothers and Sisters, Youth One, I believe, is just a brand new organization that's really helping kids. So there's the YMCA. There's so many great programs in here, and I guess I'm going to turn it around to you. What do you think are some of the big issues that kids are facing with in the city? And that's something that I can kind of learn about.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, there are so many important things other, like, and you did bring up the good point of, being able to go out and do something or getting out into the community. And so Lethbridge does have the Youth Advisory Council, and all that. So obviously we do value the voice of youth within our city. Sorry, this is on topic, but kind of off topic, but what are your thoughts on lowering the voting age to 16 so that conversation is actually had in a more serious tone, because these are now voting citizens of our city?
I think that's not a bad idea, lowering it to 16, and because I know that once once you get someone who is at that age, they vote for life. And my main concern is that there's still the voting apathy. We need to get people out to vote. 30%, I believe, in the last election came out to vote in the Syndic election. So that's certainly a possibility. Is a 16-year-old aware of the issues? I think many of them are. So, but that's certainly something that I would definitely consider. 16 years old. Yeah. What do you think?
You know what? I am in favor of it. I think there are a bunch of different reasons to be in favor of it. There are obviously a few concerns for it, but like you said, when you get that person to vote once, it drives them to vote generally for the rest of their lives.
And I think, just to jump in, I think if you did lower it to 16, I think there has to be a drive to put things like the forums that were held a couple days ago in the schools and target those people specifically so they don't have to. I mean, it can be harder for a 16-year-old to get around town or to get to these things just because they don't, they might not be able to, they might not have a car, they might not be near the location. So to take it to them and then, of course, let them vote afterwards. But I think there has to be a drive for that sort of thing.
Sure. Certainly there's logistics involved with getting a 16-year-old. Yeah.
And I think obviously a huge issue that does also come up for youth within our city, as you said, is transit. Youth transit pass can be or a student transit pass can be $77 a month.
Mm-hmm. A month, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, which for some students, that's not, totally not doable. Mm-hmm. When I was going to university, when I didn't have my car, it was a necessity, but it was also very
a burden,
very expensive. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think addressing transit issues amongst our more financially vulnerable citizens is a large topic that needs to be addressed, and then also just employment within our city as well. Obviously, always trying to attract new and exciting ventures to our city with the new cadet. Oh my gosh, I always say the name wrong. The
Cavendish
potato farm,
Cavendish Farms.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that coming in, it obviously shows that people are interested within our city.
Sure.
This is kind of off topic as well, but what would you think would be a great way to promote our city to capital ventures such as, new industries and all that?
Well, I mean, I think I alluded to a few of those things, just the fact, if we have a performing arts center, if we do have a travel and convention center, if that's a possibility, we've got the new leisure center, we've got, the amenities that we have right now, we have the university, we have the college. It's just an amazing place to bring a family, and a lot of times an executive, for example, who is vacillating on whether or not he wants to bring his family to a city like Lethbridge. And often, it'll be his wife says, going to Lethbridge? Are you kidding? I've had a look at this place. Not a chance. If you look at, if you get a chance to promote Lethbridge and what it has, maybe that person will say, you know what, I'm willing to go to wherever. I mean, and I shouldn't just say that if it's the executive happens to be a guy, and if it's his wife, it could be reversed as well. It could be a woman who's saying, I don't want to bring my husband. So, basically you want to have a reason for them to come. And I think if you can continue with, the progress, I know our, trying to provide affordable housing as well, affordable as in houses that are, that people can purchase here, and a reason for them to want to come. Those are all valid points, and hopefully we can continue to make it a really attractive place for businesses to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Lethbridge was the fifth fastest growing city in Canada during the last census, and we've officially hit metropolis status. So obviously, we're moving in hopefully the right direction of being able to bring people in.
A lot of times that the growth is wonderful, but then when you think about some of the things that happen in Calgary and growth gets to be too fast, and all of a sudden, you've got nothing but traffic congestion and you're stuck on the Deerfoot for an hour and a half. You know, hopefully we can avoid things like that and just monitor that sort of growth too.
Yeah. Well, sorry, you brought up traffic congestion, so I'm just going to throw this question in as well. Sure. Then, Third Bridge. Where's your stance on that?
Well, I think we have to have a conversation about it, because I mean, the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost to have one. So, you know, and I understand that a Third Bridge doesn't fall under any kind of federal jurisdiction. So, to get federal funding is going to be a problem. The hope is to possibly get provincial funding, and I know that's not happening right now. So I think the conversation has to happen again, you know, create some kind of relationships with the people that are involved, maybe get the Home Builders Association to let us, you know, get some experts in on it, people who are not connected to the city in any way, but just find out what's the most logical and reasonable way to make a third bridge. I mean, ultimately right now, I know it's I get so frustrated myself because I live on the west side. When there's an accident and you're stuck on, you know, Whoop Up Drive, or you're stuck on Third Avenue, and you're there for what seems like an eternity, it doesn't happen that much. It is an inconvenience, but if you're going to spend however hundreds of millions of dollars to build a bridge, is it worth it to do it? But I think the conversation has to happen.
Absolutely, perfect. Thank you very much. Now, Ben, I think you have our last question.
I think we have time for one last question before we wrap up.
Okay, sure.
And it's not really related, I guess, to arts or culture or youth in any way, but it's something that came up in the forum that I thought I would ask about.
Sure.
So it's about council remuneration, and as of 2013, council members make $39,135 per year. And it's my understanding that they're not full-time positions, and they hold other positions in the community as well, whether it's their own business or other things. So the problem the public has is with the council is that they can vote to raise their own salary, and it presents this odd situation of personal interest. But
it's very awkward, yeah.
Yeah, would you be in favor of entertaining the idea of salary bump if it ever came up again, or would it be something you would try to stop, or...?
Well, I need to find out how much work this is going to be.
Yeah,
I know. I've talked to a couple members of council, and you know, as it is right now, the amount of work that they do with the committees that they have, it really is a full-time job. It's way more. I mean, depending on who you talk to, and who you know, how many council or how many committees they're on, but you know, it's way over 40 hours, you know, and it's sometimes up to 60 to 80 hours that they spend. So, gosh, yeah, that's always a tricky one. But, you know, because you want to get paid for what you do. And then there's the people who say, well, you know, I don't want to pay for you.
Yeah.
So that's one of those tricky ones, and mm-hmm. I think my gut instinct, based on who I've talked to, I think I'd be in favor of like a full-time position, and I wouldn't say double the salary or anything, but mm-hmm. make it a viable and reasonable full-time salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 for absolutely. Sure. If you ended up going full-time, I would agree with you being that make it fair.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think fair is the trick here. I mean, be comparable to whatever a similar job is, and
yeah.
pay accordingly. I think that's only fair.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you also have to think that there are some folks who might not run for council who would be perfectly great for council just simply because of its pay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then
and the
if
work.
You're going to sure if you're going to give up $100,000 a year job, why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be making $40,000, so that's
Or if you have a young family or
well, exactly.
like that, like yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
That's all. Those were all great, and I thank you for coming on. I just do you have anything closing remarks you'd like to make before we go?
Well, by all means, if you just vote. That's the most important thing. You know, you like me or not, hopefully you do, but if you don't, come out anyway, vote. Make your vote count, and it really does matter. So October 16th, come out, get to your farm, figure out where you got to vote, and come out and vote.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Mark.
Hey,
it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Good for you.
And best of luck the upcoming election.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of you, all of the candidates you talk to.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Good. Bye-bye. Talk to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a neat perspective on things from someone who's outside of the political realm but has been involved in the community.
Mm-hmm. And I know the show he's talking about. It ran for quite a while, the Seen and Heard show.
Seen and Heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on it a couple times, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, through the university.
Oh, for like the shows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. I wasn't sure if it was still going when you were in town. But yeah, no, great conversation. Good answers. And I like that he's interested in, you know, learning more about the issues and things like that.
Absolutely. And that he doesn't BS his way through an answer.
Yeah.
Like it's,
if
you know what?
If he doesn't know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he's pretty open and honest about his position on things. So. Mm-hmm. That's a nice thing to see in someone who's not just, they're not just, oh, I don't know, but they're also not just, it's going to be.
Exactly.
And the research is done.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We know people like that.
We do know people like that.
Anyway.
But I think he'll do well, and I think he'll resonate with a lot of residents.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to Mark and his endeavors there.
Yeah. Great.
Excellent. Well, I think that that wraps this one up.
Sure does.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.
Thank you for listening to Sightlines Special Electoral Report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.